Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 18th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. Before we get started, as always, we want to thank our new patrons, Watt DeFino, Charles Watson, Mike, Sharon Trask, Laura Christine, and Laura. Thank you so much for your support. And welcome to the Pod Fam. If you want to hear your name in audio, then you should check us out over on Patreon. Our Patreon is a safe space for people who love ad-free episodes, exclusive merch, and monthly bonus stories. Check it out at patreon.com/13pod or click the link in the show notes. Today's story is Caught on Tape, written by Victoria Dalpy. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show.
Lily LaRoche pursed her lips. Her mouth was glossy and pink. She leaned her head back into her arm, her other perched on her hip in the perfect approximation of a pinup girl.
Like this, Mr. Director?
Derek could feel his cheeks burning as he struggled to find composure. Even in normal situations, Lily made him nervous. She always had. But this was not a normal situation. She was easily the prettiest girl in school and the most popular. She was also smart, intense, and rarest of all, kind. Everyone was drawn to her, like bees to a flower. He'd loved her ever since the moment he'd met her in elementary school. Now, they were alone together, just the two of them and a camcorder. He was at such a loss.
Hello? Derek?
She dropped her arm, face gone serious. He managed to nod, his hand soaked in sweat.
I was just joking around. I'm nervous.
She actually looked nervous for the first time. He squinted and watched her through the eye of the camcorder, feeling more comfortable with the layer of tech between them. She was still beautiful, but grainier, the camcorder washing the color and depth out of her. She crossed her arms over her chest, glancing around.
Derek?
The flirtiness was long gone now. He cleared his throat.
Yeah, looks good.
She always did.
We'll definitely see you, no problem. The night vision, it'll see you from this angle, whether you're standing up or laying down.
Okay, good.
She wore scuffed-up cowboy boots, denim shorts, and a spaghetti strap white tank top. Her hair was to her waist, a light brown gone blonde from the sun. Her face was heart-shaped, a small upturned nose, big blue eyes, and a broad smile of white straight teeth. Gorgeous.
You're sure about going through with all this?
He still didn't know what all this even was.
Yes, I need to know. No going back.
She tossed her long wavy hair back over her shoulder.
Well, we will, as long as you stay in frame.
I want it to look real.
I want it to look real. That's what she'd said 3 days before, when she came to the AV room asking for him. Derek, Terry, and Glenn, the only other members of the Rathbone High School AV Club, were sitting together in a cramped hot room. When Lily came in, they acted like prairie dogs, all their heads jerking up and swiveling in unison. She looked right at Derek and asked if they could speak privately. Just the two of them. The other guys didn't want to leave the room, but he managed to push them out and close the door on them. He could see their shadows crowded on the other side of the door, listening in.
Wow, there's a lot of equipment in here.
She walked around the cramped space and let her fingertips run over all the knobs and buttons. Derek flinched, hoping she didn't mess with anything. But also, he didn't stop her from touching them. He could fix it later. It would be fine.
I heard you are good with a camera, and that you've made some short films?
Yeah, was his response.
Derek prayed she wouldn't ask to see any of those films. They were just monster movie shorts that he and his friends had made. Silly stuff to practice gore effects and shot compositions and techniques. They were clunky and amateurish, even though one did win an award last year.
Cool. I want you to help me film something. Something secret.
His pulse jumped, imagination running far ahead.
What do you want me to film?
Her face scrunched up, eyes on the floor.
It's kind of private. I don't want to say while we're here at school.
Derek was sure his eyes bugged out at the idea of her private video. At his expression, Lily blanched before bursting into nervous laughter.
No, not that kind of private video. Oh my God, what kind of girl do you think I am?
She leaned in, although they were alone in a closed room.
Not a sex thing. I want you to help me document something as proof, like a witness. I want it caught on tape.
Why me?
He hadn't meant to, but the words just fell out of his mouth. She shrugged, avoiding his eyes.
You seem like a nice person, and you know how to use a camera.
Is it like a ghost?
Derek said, trying to think of what a girl like Lily would be trying to prove with a video recording. He felt silly suggesting it, but she didn't brush him off.
No, not a ghost. But I'll need you to film it in the dark, if that's possible.
I can do that.
Anyway, could you meet me Friday before sunset? Around 7?
Yeah. Sure.
He picked up a plastic case and opened it.
This would probably be the best camera to use. It's the most portable, long battery life, and it has night vision.
That's great. You know the old Miller place by the lake?
Derek's blood froze up in his veins. Everyone knew about that place. He'd been scared of it for as long as he could remember. His bus went by it every day, and he avoided looking at it if he could. It was an old abandoned lake house where a murder-suicide happened. The property was so overgrown that the lonely old clapboard house was barely visible, more gray than white, and had gone green with a heavy moss. The driveway had long succumbed to the high grasses of the forest, pushing in on it on either side. Behind the house was the lake with the house's dock, still floating out there, warped and unused after all these years. He dreaded the thought of going there at night.
I thought you said this wasn't about ghosts.
He hated the fear in his voice and tried to hide it by fiddling with the camcorder.
It's not ghosts. I promise. I have a key. It's private, and we won't be disturbed.
Why do you have a key?
Derek began to worry that this was actually an elaborate prank. Lily didn't seem the type, but wouldn't that make her the perfect one to lure him out there? He'd seen plenty of slasher movies that started like this.
My grandparents own the place.
Your grandparents?
Lily smiled sadly.
That camera isn't recording yet, right?
No.
He put the camcorder back in its case.
This is all top secret info, okay? The cabin belongs to my grandparents. They raised me.
So, the people who died?
They were my parents.
That Friday, Derek picked out a dinner of roast chicken and boiled potatoes with his family. He found it hard to eat, his stomach too tied up in knots. The anticipation of being with Lily, alone, just the two of them, it was choking him. It was combined with the fear of going to the old Miller house, the house that had featured as a regular set piece in his nightmares for years. His mother asked him if he was okay. He'd been quiet all afternoon.
Yeah,
he said.
Hey, I told you I'm going over to Terry's tonight. Gonna work on another movie. That's fine,
she said.
As long as you feel okay.
Soon, he was riding his bike down a narrow country road, backtracking the bus route to school. The shoulder was non-existent, all mud and beer cans. He kept his eyes out in either direction. The camera was heavy in his backpack and threw him off balance. He had to be careful. People drove fast on back roads. Before he was ready, he was at the old rusty mailbox of the Miller cabin. It was still warm out. The sun was low, and all around he could hear the songs of insects and frogs. Derek noticed the cabin was already little more than a dark outline. The old house felt like it was holding its breath, waiting for him. Lily stepped out from behind a big tree.
You came!
She'd nearly scared Derek to death.
Come on, let's go in before I lose my nerve.
They made their way down the driveway. The tall grass hid roots and rocks, and Derek nearly dropped the camera a few times. Lily pushed his bike. The coming dark was filled with mosquitoes. Up close, the old house had mostly boarded up windows and peeling paint. The gutters overflowed with pine needles. It was just as scary. Lily spoke up as they approached.
My grandparents can't bear to sell it or knock it down.
She unlocked the door, and he followed her inside.
They don't know I have the key. They don't know I come here sometimes.
The door opened into a stuffy hallway. It was narrow and ran the length of the house, all the way to the back door, with a steep stairway to the left. There were two rooms on either side. It wasn't a big house. The room to the left was a dining room. Sheets covered the table and chairs. The room to the right was a living room. The kitchen was in the back. The air was thick with dust and damp. All the windows were covered with boards and plywood, making the house darker inside than outside.
Let's go to the living room. We can film in there.
The living room was empty, except an uncovered chair in the corner. There was a duffel bag on the floor. One window was uncovered, the boards pried off. It looked out at the lake. Lily pushed it open, and Derek went straight to the last vestige of light and fresh air. The old house felt claustrophobic to him. It was a bad place.
So, you should probably tell me what this is all about,
Derek said. Lily, blew out a breath.
Yeah, it's just hard to talk about. Something's been happening to me at night. I want you to film it and prove to me that I'm not going crazy.
The sun was setting. Long gold bands highlighted her face. Her hair sparkled. Even sad and scared as she was the prettiest girl he'd ever seen.
I think there's something really wrong with me.
Derek swallowed, unsure what to say. He'd devoted a lot of his childhood to loving Lily. This was a fantasy coming true, but only partly. He was standing in the house where her parents died, and, of course, the camera was between them. He spoke up.
Why not just borrow the camera and film it yourself?
Lily pushed the window open all the way. It was missing its screen. She sat on the windowsill, her back to the lake.
Because I was scared to do it on my own, and I know you have a crush on me.
Derek felt his cheeks go hot. He thought about denying it, but decided it was better just to be quiet. Lily went on.
Also, you seem like a nice person. Someone who's open-minded.
Open-minded?
He asked lamely. What had she gotten him into?
Lily, what am I open-minded about?
Well, I don't remember my mom. I was only a toddler when my parents died. So all of this information comes from my grandparents, and they never liked her.
She went quiet, and Derek waited for her to continue.
I think my dad killed my mom, but I think he did it to stop her.
Lily toed at a spot on the floor, which was darker than the rest of the wood. She blew out a breath.
I was staying overnight with my grandparents, and when my parents didn't come back the next day to get me, my grandfather came by, and he found them dead. Blood everywhere. My mother was mutilated. Her head ripped off, her guts all over the place.
Derek tried and failed not to picture a woman's head. Long hair, soaked in blood, loops of intestines. Lily pointed across the room.
My father was over there. He'd shot himself in the head. They think he shot her, then chopped her head off, and then killed himself. Obviously, my grandparents were upset, and they wanted me to know as little as possible. But it's not hard to find the details if you just look them up. It was a whole scandal at the time.
Derek wiped at his sweaty face with a shaky hand.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
That's when he realized that Lily was watching him close. He spoke again.
But, what does it have to do with you?
Lily ran her hand along the windowsill, the paint flaking to the floor.
My grandparents think my mom provoked my dad somehow. They can't believe their son could do something so awful.
Look, I'm real sorry about your family, but what does this have to do with needing a camera? You said that it wasn't about ghosts.
Lily met his eyes.
Something started happening to me a few months ago. At first, I thought it was a dream, one of those recurring ones, you know? It happens once a month. I dream that I leave my body and I go out hunting.
Behind her, the sun was a bright orange orb with reds and purples at the edges. It was nearly below the horizon. Derek was painfully aware of how the house was growing dark around him. She continued, her voice nearly a whisper.
That first time, a few months ago, I was anxious. All day, I was itchy in my skin. I had this ache in my jaw and in all my joints. I thought I was getting sick. So I went home and got into bed. And then, I had the strangest dream. In the dream, I slipped out of the house. I was following a scent all over town. And I was so hungry. And then I found it through an open window. A woman was asleep in there.
Lily stood up and paced around. She stopped and looked out the window again. The sun was so low, the lake looked like it was on fire. Derek realizes that she's watching the sunset because whatever she thinks will happen is going to happen at dark.
This is hard for me to tell you. I know I sound crazy, but I woke up with my mouth tasting like metal. The screen was pushed out on the window in my room, and there was blood on the sill. I couldn't find any wounds on myself. I thought it must be a weird fever dream, and that I was just sleepwalking. Until a month later, on the full moon, when the urge called to me again. I had a similar dream. Broken screen and bloody mouth. Then, last month, I said I was staying at a friend's house, and I slept here. This window had been boarded up and had a screen when I went to sleep. In the morning, it was like this.
She pointed to the window that I'd noticed before, the only one in the house not boarded up.
So, you think you're like a werewolf or something?
Derek felt silly even saying it out loud. He thought again about his fear that this was a big prank. He was waiting for a group of popular kids to burst out and scare him. But instead of laughing or denying it, Lily nodded. Her eyes were wide.
Not a werewolf, but something.
Okay. Let's say that I believe you. What am I supposed to do about it?
Help me prove to myself that I'm not going crazy.
Derek swallowed a lump.
And you think that this is going to happen again? Tonight?
I know it will.
Derek pointed to the ground.
You said that you tasted blood. If that's true, then whose blood is it? Has anyone been reported missing? Is there anything in the newspaper?
Lily shook her head no.
No, nothing that I've seen. In my dreams, it's always women, but not just any women. They smell different. Special, somehow.
What if you attack me?
I've thought of that. And that's why I wanted you to set up the camera right here.
She crossed the room and opened the closet door.
This way, you can go and hide in the closet to keep yourself safe. I put a flashlight and there's a bat in there so that you can defend yourself. So, what do you think?
Derek smiled. He doubted that she would change into a vampire and fly out the window.
So, you want me to hit you with a bat or something if you transform?
Please? Worst case, you think I'm crazy and spend a weird night in a closet.
No, that would be the best case. The worst case is I fight your beast form with a bat and then you eat me.
She snorted and raked her hands through her long hair.
Please, just do this for me. I need to know what's happening to me.
There was something so desperate about her in that moment. Although every alarm in his body was clanging to leave right now, before full dark, to never look back. He couldn't. This was Lily LaRoche, and she needed him. She had no one else. Finally, he said,
"Okay."
She pulled him into a hug before he could prepare himself. He awkwardly put his arms around her, hyper aware of the heat coming off of her skin. She smelled like sunshine and vanilla. He savored the moment until she finally broke the hug and stepped back.
"Okay, when it's time, I'll try to lay down and go to sleep. You'll hit record and get in the closet. And then we'll know."
"There's nothing scarier than trying to find a doctor. Take it from me. Being a final girl means that once the chase is over, I need fast, reliable, in-network medical care. And that's why I use ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. And the appointments happen fast, usually just 24 to 72 hours after booking. But you can even score same-day appointments, which is a literal lifesaver in my line of work. So what are you waiting for? Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/13 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today."
That's ZocDoc.com/13. ZocDoc.com/THIRTEEN.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
While she unrolled a sleeping bag, he got the camera set up with a night vision feature on. He put his backpack in the closet. He brought a flashlight of his own, some water, a granola bar, and a sweatshirt. Then, he went to the old bathroom with mustard yellow fixtures and cobwebs in the corners, across from the dated kitchen. He tried to picture Lily hanging out in this lonely place all by herself. It made him feel sad. He stared at his sweaty, wide-eyed reflection in the mirror and thought, what a weird way to spend the night. When he came back to the living room, she'd set up a lantern beside her sleeping bag. It was the only light in the house. She changed into a gray tank top and pajama shorts. Perhaps it was his imagination, but her eyes seemed larger and glassier. She felt like someone else.
"You okay?"
I think so. Are you okay?"
She nodded.
"I'm gonna lay down now and try to relax."
"Okay. Let me double check that everything's set to record."
It was full dark now, the last vestiges of day dipping below the tree line in the distance. The sky outside was plum-colored and speckled with the first stars. The room felt different, the shapes harder to distinguish. The shadows were long. She sat eerily still. As he looked her over through the camera, he felt his body flush with goosebumps. Her eyes were larger and wetter. Her hair seemed longer too, and her mouth was different. He shook his head, trying to regain his sanity. Imagination is a funny thing.
"You really should turn it on and go into the closet now."
Did her voice sound lower? Stranger? She turned off the lantern, and he pressed record with a clammy finger. Derek walked backward. Every hair was on end. The closet smelled of dust and hot wood, reminding him of a sauna. His nose tickled, and he prayed he wouldn't sneeze. He pulled the door closed enough that he could still see her. He was close enough to the camera he could reach out his arm and touch it without needing to leave the closet. He kept his sweaty hand on the doorknob so he could close it at any moment. She shifted in the sleeping bag, and he could see her grainy image through the camera screen, much better than the dark outline on the floor.
Are we all set?
Yeah. Good night, Lily.
Good night. Thanks again, Derek.
She closed her eyes, and for a long time, nothing happened. Derek's feet fell asleep. It was hot in the closet, and he was painfully aware of the sweat gathering in his hairline. He could feel it running down his neck and then along his spine. The sounds of the lake and the forest crowded in, getting louder the longer he waited in the silence. At some point, she let out a deep exhale and then began to gently snore. Well and truly asleep. Derek doubted that he had the stamina to watch her all night. He glanced at his watch, noting that what had felt like hours had only been about 45 minutes. Nothing happened of interest for the camera to pick up. He sat down, and another hour passed. His knees and back were aching. His stomach was also growling. It was as he knelt to unzip the pack that he heard a rustle of fabric from the sleeping bag, and he froze. Lily sat up. It was quick, like she'd been startled. Derek almost called out, but then he noticed her eyes. They were still closed on the camera screen. And then he heard an odd sound. It was a wet, slippery, sucking sound, reminding him of someone eating a popsicle. Her mouth was still, unmoving and slack. It wasn't coming from her mouth. As the sound continued, she rose, but her lower half stayed tucked in the sleeping bag. She lifted higher and higher, her face blank and her eyes closed. Her mouth was soft and partially open. It was then that her body fell back with a thud. But still, her head remained upright and facing the camera, as if standing, as if floating. Derek began to whisper something, but he stopped himself. His heart was racing like a rabbit. She was merely a black outline against the night sky in the room. But on the camera, he saw that it was her head and neck and long hair floating off the ground, as if they were all on a string from the ceiling. Below the neck was a shiny esophagus and then two filling and emptying lung sacs. Below that, a cluster of glistening organs hanging like grapes on the vine. All of it was dripping and swaying. Derek felt his body flood with adrenaline. He was sweaty and freezing at the same time, as his pulse clogged his throat and his vision flickered. Panic. Raw, stinging panic. He watched Lily's head, with her hair and guts hanging below, turn and duck under the open sill. And then it was gone, out into the night. He abandoned his post, more curious than scared for a moment. He crossed the room as swiftly and silently as he could, and he stuck his head out the open window. Outside, the lake was smooth and inky, reflecting the sky. Beyond the water was a line of trees. The forest was a black wall. He strained his senses. Where was she? He felt a drip on his face, and he looked up. When he did, he cried out, a high-pitched yelp of pure terror. She was hovering above him, close enough that he could feel the heat off the organs and hear the churning sounds as they worked. He yanked his head inside, backing further into the room as she lowered herself to stare in at him. Her face was serene, eyes looking through him, hair hanging loose and fluttering in the breeze. He took a chance and whispered,
"Lily?"
The creature cocked her head and looked annoyed. He backed further away, mindful of the sleeping bag and wanting to get out of the shot. Even in his panic, he was thinking like a director.
"Lily, can you hear me? It's Derek."
She smiled.
"Derek. Hungry."
"Hungry?"
There was a moment, and then she drifted up and away. And this time, she didn't come back. As he went back to the window, he tripped on something. No, not something. It was her body. He crawled over her in the dark, unsettled by how unalive it felt. He stared into the empty, hollowed-out torso. It was still warm, but cooling. The hands were limp and the fingers pliant. He scrambled to the closet and brought back the flashlight to examine it. He shined the light inside. Pink and red-blue veins and the glistening bone of her spine and ribs. Empty and shining, like something hanging in a butcher's shop. The heat of the room and the scent of a hot interior torso twisted his stomach. He pressed his fist in his mouth to stop himself from vomiting. He stood up, needing to be away from the body, gulping fresh air from the window, and wondering, what now? He wanted to leave. That was his first impulse, to pack up and take off, to ride his bike home and tell no one and forget that this night ever happened. But the idea of going out into the night and encountering her, or at least those parts of her, hanging and dangling and tripping and hungry, the impulse for escape fizzled out at the thought. Instead, he returned to the closet. His hands were trembling and his mouth felt like it was full of sand. She was out there, hunting. A rustling at the window startled him awake with a screaming crick in his neck. The sky was beginning to lighten outside. A pale greenish gray. And there was Lily. She'd returned. He could see, as the head and guts slid back inside, that her mouth was covered in blood. Not just her mouth. There was red dripping down her neck and lungs and leaving small drops on the floor next to the sleeping bag. As quietly as he could, he checked to make sure the camera was still recording. It was. He watched, rapt as the head and the swinging entrails eased itself over and down, almost like a car parallel parking, sliding back in. In a blink, she was intact, as if all of this had never happened, except for the blood. Whose blood was it? And where had she gone? A band of sun came into the room. It was going to be another hot day, and he could feel the temperature creeping up bit by bit. When she stirred, he sprung to his feet, unsteady and anxious. Then, he went to her, and he couldn't stop himself. He begged her to wake up. He was crowding her and clapping his hands. Lily rubbed her eyes, and it took her a moment to orient herself.
Oh, did you get it on tape?
She pulled herself out from her sleeping bag and stretched. He caught himself staring at her neck, looking for some sort of seam, but there wasn't one. If he hadn't seen it with his own eyes, he would have never believed it happened. He wiped his hands on his grimy jeans, and he so badly wanted to shower and change and be anywhere but the Miller's cabin. He spoke.
Okay, so I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but I don't think you're crazy.
You saw something?
Derek laughed. He didn't mean to, but it bubbled out of him uncontrollably. Was it better to laugh or to cry? He knew now that monsters were real.
I tell you what, let's get the tape and then you can see for yourself.
He stopped the recording and began to rewind. The hours of the night fell away in just a few seconds. He stopped it and waved her over. Then he hit play and stepped away. He went to the bathroom and left her to watch it by herself. A part of him wanted to watch her response, but a larger part of him didn't. He hadn't earned that kind of intimacy. Lily was just a girl that he liked and who he wanted to impress by helping her with a project. None of them had signed up for whatever this really was. He was halfway to the bathroom when he heard a gasp. He picked up his pace. Only after he closed the door did he let out the breath that he was holding. He washed up the best that he could, and he lingered, wanting to give her space. When he finally returned, he popped the tape out of the camcorder and handed it to her.
I'll let you keep this.
Lily was slumped over herself on the sleeping bag, her eyes red from crying. She had a bloody crust around her mouth. He decided not to mention it.
What am I?
I don't really know.
What do I do now?
I don't know, but for what it's worth, I'm sorry.
Derek grimaced, wishing he'd said something better. She wiped at her nose, avoiding his eyes. He packed up his things and walked to the door. He heard his name just as he was about to leave.
Derek, you're not going to tell anyone, are you?
Derek shook his head. No one would believe him if he did. And then he left, because there was nothing else to do. Already the night was starting to feel like a dream. A dream he could walk away from and hopefully forget. But both of them knew that he wouldn't.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been Caught on Tape, written by Victoria Dalpy, narrated by Ian Epperson. Lily was Brooke Jeanette. Music composed by Caleb Ritchie. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Additional assistance from Bridget Freeman. Our producer-level patrons are Tattooed Fox, Rhiannon, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Amy Harper, Jackie Kay, Chantel Payne, Nick, Jake R., and Kozamine. Thank you so much for your support. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about joining us on Patreon. And check us out on social media. You can find us most places under Pod 13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, you can get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcast.com. And you can find that in the show notes too. Bridget Freeman is floating through the forest, looking for something to eat.
Scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylow's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.